I want to welcome everybody to the services tonight. Hope you've had a good day today. We've got several that are visiting. Glad to have you all here with us. Just good to have everybody. I really have enjoyed studying this topic. I don't ever think that I do the fruits of the Spirit particular justice whenever I get up and do them, because I think they're so important. And yet I know that there's a limit as far as how much we can provide insight into it. But I do believe as we go through the Scriptures, we see an insight that God wants us to have as far as these fruits. And when we talk about goodness, this is one of the great gifts that we have from God. His goodness towards us has such benefit that if we really thought about it, I think we would enjoy our lives just a little bit more. But we're going to be again in Psalms, the 23rd chapter, if you'd like to turn over there. Starts out by telling us it's a psalm of David, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. Some of your versions may say, "I shall not be in want," but when you think about this idea of not being in want, this really is the epitome of God's goodness. The reason that we don't have to lack anything is because of the goodness of God. In Psalms chapter 84, verse 11, this is listed as one of the Psalms of the sons of Korah. It says, "The Lord is a sun and shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." And so when we see, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," the reason we don't have any lack in our life is because he doesn't withhold good from those whose walk is blameless. But he really does limit that. And I think maybe this is something that we really need to be attentive to, because I'm convinced a lot of people really turn to God during difficult times, and they especially lean up on this particular psalm, and yet their walk is not blameless. Remember, we were called in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. And so it's only for those who are actually in Christ that have this. Again, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The reason that we don't lack anything in life is because of that. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 10, David is talking here. He says, "The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." We lack no good thing because the Lord is our shepherd. I think a lot of times in our lives, we kind of look at things that are lacking, or that we consider are lacking. And maybe we don't think that, maybe I shouldn't say think, but maybe we don't feel God's goodness because of that. We might look at the different physical aspects of life that demand our attention, from our health to our finances, to our jobs, to our families. And while there are certainly spiritual elements to our families, most of these things that we're looking at are physically motivated. And a lot of times when we think that we lack something, it's because we're looking at the physical parts of life. I think it was Guy that was talking about, I'm not sure if he was reading my mind or my notes, both are pretty thin, but he was talking about that idea this morning in class, that there are times where we just kind of focus on our finances, and we just feel like we don't have enough for different things. And so the question becomes, when we get to that point, is the Lord really our shepherd? And is it really true that we won't be in want? And the answer is yes, because he's not talking about the physical necessarily. There are physical blessings that stem from the Lord being our shepherd. But it's the spiritual that we really need to focus on, because it's the spiritual that will really shape our life. There's something else. In Psalm 16, verse 2, David said this, "I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you I have no good thing." Think about that for a moment, because again, those who do not have God, those who do not have Christ, Can they have good in their lives? Because a lot of times we think they can. A lot of times we're absolutely convinced that the different blessings, the good things in life are available to everything. And of course, God does put us in a beautiful physical world with lots of opportunities. But when he talks about the good things, he's talking about those things, I believe, that are primarily spiritual, those things that are beneficial from a spiritual point of view. And so the fact that it's only for those for whom God is the Lord that they have a good thing. And that's why David says, apart from you, I have no good thing. Those who are apart from God cannot enjoy this. One of the reasons why I think it's so important for us to really take serious this charge to seek and save the lost is because there are so many people who need God in their life. They're going through struggles. And they can't figure out why life's not working well. And it may very well be that because they haven't been raised that way or because they haven't sought out the truth, they just don't know that the good things are for those who are with God. David said, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." That's an immutable, unchangeable law. Going along with this idea that the Lord is our shepherd, John chapter 10, I think, has some insight for us that really tells us why that's so important. And Jesus uses this picture of a shepherd to help us to understand why it's so important for us to have him and why it's so important for us to rely on him. John chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." This whole illustration that Jesus is going to give in chapter 10 involves us, the sheep, in his pen. And he points out that anybody that tries to get into the sheep that doesn't go in through the gate is a thief and a robber. This is going to be something important because we think that anybody who has something religious in their life or something religious to say is a shepherd. And that's not true. Jesus is the shepherd, and only those who are in Christ can be part of his pen. And so he says, "The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber." This is going to become very important in just a moment. "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep." And now he's talking about himself. "The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." Think about that for a moment. The sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. "He calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." One of the reasons it is so important for us to be reading and studying the Word is so that we will recognize God's voice, so that we'll recognize the voice of Christ. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to tell the difference. There's a lot of noise in the religious world. There's a lot of people who purport to speak for God and who purport to speak for Christ. And unless we are in the Word and know what God has said and recognize His voice, then just any voice will do. But for those who are aware, we'll follow Christ because we recognize His voice. Think about what a real shepherd does. I was talking to Mark earlier today. His goats are having babies right now. and some of the goats have never had the babies before, and some have, but he's out there helping them. You think about these baby goats. Other than mama, Mark is the first thing they see. It's kind of scary, isn't it? But from the very earliest of times, those goats are going to know who the shepherd is. Parents, have you ever thought about why it is so critical for you to be immersing your children in God's Word and with the church and with the Bible studies? By the way, I know a lot of you young people are getting involved with Bible Bowl right now, and let me commend you for that and encourage you in that, because it's a wonderful thing. It is so important for us to study the Word of God so we can figure out at a young age what God has to say for us. But again, the sheep are going to recognize the shepherd's voice, but they won't recognize a stranger's voice. The good part about that is if you raise your kids from a young age to be listening to God and to Christ, they will always recognize His voice. That doesn't mean they won't go away from Him. It doesn't mean that they won't reject it, but they'll recognize the voice of the shepherd. But if you don't, the sad part is that the shepherd's voice is going to sound like a stranger's voice to them. In the religious world, so often people look to whoever the religious leader might happen to be. It may just be somebody in their family. It may be some place where they attend worship. But whatever it is, they look at whoever the religious leader is in their life as the one who's the shepherd. Now, that's not true. Christ is the shepherd. And we have to get our children used to His voice. And the only way we can do that is if we're used to His voice first so that we recognize it. Because they need help. Again, verse 5. He goes on ahead of them, talking about the shepherd, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what He was telling them. Now just hang on to that thought for a moment. If you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is talking about false apostles at this point. And in let's start in verse 4. Well, let me back up. In verse 3, Paul says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you received a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. The Holy Spirit of God is leading Paul to reprimand some of the Christians at the church in Corinth because they're putting up with false teachers. They don't know any better. They should know better. They're without excuse for not knowing better. But Paul says, if somebody teaches you a different Jesus, you put up with it. If they teach you a different spirit, you put up with it. And he even says, if he preaches a different gospel, you put up with it easily enough. Why is that? And don't you think it's because, at least for the ones he's writing to, they had not yet learned to recognize the shepherd's voice. And so any voice would do. And there's a lot of really powerful deceivers out there, and Paul points that out. In verse 13 he says this, talking about false teachers. He says, such men are false apostles, deceitful, workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. When we talk about the Lord being our shepherd, and as we look at this in John 10 about Christ, who in just a little bit is going to refer to himself as the good shepherd, it's important for us to understand that there's a lot of false shepherds out there. There are false apostles. There's even Satan who masquerades as an angel of light. If you've ever wondered why so many people follow false doctrines in this world, whether they are doctrines in the so-called Christian world to them, or their doctrines outside of Christ, they're following these because Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and because they have never learned the voice of the shepherd, they'll follow the voice of a stranger. That's why it's so vital for us to make sure that we know what the voice of God and what the voice of Christ sounds like. And again, especially for you parents, that's why it's so vital for you to make sure your children recognize the voice of the shepherd. If you can do that at an early age, Jesus says, They won't follow. They won't recognize a stranger's voice. And yet the very people he was talking to didn't understand what he was saying at the time. Going back to John chapter 10 and verse 7. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. We're told over and over in Scripture about all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, including salvation being in Christ. And that's why it's so important to go through Christ, because we have to be in Christ. Whoever enters through me, Jesus said, will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And then he says this about Satan. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, sometimes when you click on your TV and you see those people who are pastor good hairs, you know, you see them, they have good hair. And they sometimes the singing on their program is really pretty. And they're teaching a message that just sounds so enticing. And yet sometimes that message is not at all the message of Christ. Why do they listen to it? Why would a thief climb into a sheep pen? Well, Jesus said it is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Colt Cogburn had some hens for a while, and he knows what it's like, or knew what it was like when he had those hens, to have some kind of a varmint get into the sheep pen, or into the chicken coop. Sometimes some of these predators that go after chickens will just kill because they have a thirst for blood. After they've killed all they wanted, all they could possibly eat, they keep on killing. There's just something that drives them. There's something about Satan that he just hates us. It has been from the very beginning. He was the one who took over the serpent in the garden. He was the one who deceived Eve in the garden. He came to steal and to kill and to destroy, and he has not stopped doing that. But so many people are listening to his voice because he masquerades as an angel of light. He looks good, and he's saying things we want to hear. He came to Eve and told her not to worry about the things that God had said, that wasn't true, and that God knew it wasn't true, and that she could go ahead and she could eat of the fruit, and she'd become like God. And he's been doing that very thing ever since, trying to encourage people to do things that are completely foreign to the Word of God, convincing them that they'll be good Christians if they do that. Why does he hate us? I don't know. But Jesus warns us the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they, the sheep of his fold, his followers, that they may have life and have it to the full. Every year I get the privilege of talking to the graduating senior class, and every year I look at these young people and I usually see about two or three that are actually engaged in life. And the other dozen or so are just treading water. They're going to the next stage to have fun. And it really doesn't matter what I'm going to say to them for about 10 or 15 minutes, because that's what they want to do. And so I try and use that 10 or 15 minutes to say, remember this later on, when after you've ignored it and you fall into different kinds of trouble, and then try this. Try reading the Word of God, and try worshiping with the church, and try praying to God, and see if that doesn't work better than what you're surely determined to do if you're not wise enough to hear it now. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. This life is filled with difficulties, that's true. And there's trouble and there's hard things that happen, but he came that we can have an abundant life. Not a subpar life, but a really, really good life. A life to the full. Are you having that life to the full? And if the answer to that is no, I'm not. Isn't it possible that you've been listening to the wrong shepherd's voice? And isn't it possible that you need to start listening to Christ? Christ in verse 11 now says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, in just a little bit, was about to do that very thing. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. How come? Because he's just there to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is going to lay his life down for them. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And then in verse 14, he underscores what he's already said. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. When people ask you if you know Christ, that's a fair and scriptural question. But so often we come up with unscriptural answers to that. Do we know the shepherd, the good shepherd? The only way we can do that is through the word. Romans chapter 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. There's no faith outside of that. You can have belief, just a simple understanding, without the word of God, can you not? God says that in Romans chapter 1, that by what he's created, people can know what they need to know about God. That's enough to get us our start. But we cannot know Christ just by observing the creation. And we cannot have faith, that which causes us to put that belief into action, without hearing the message of Christ. Jesus again, I'm the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I think he's referring to the fact that the Gentiles will come in a little bit. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The last passage I want to call to your attention is at the very end of Psalms chapter 23, because it underscores the need for our having the shepherd in our life. And again, when we talk about the shepherd that we need, we are talking about God and Christ. David says at the end of the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm that we love so well, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. When we talk about this fruit of the Spirit of goodness, it's going to follow us all the days of our life. And then David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you have that confidence? Because the only way you can have that confidence is to listen to the shepherd's voice and then really do it, what he says. If you can do that, then you can enjoy the fruits of the Spirit, one of which is goodness. And goodness will allow you to enjoy life to the fullest, to the abundance that Christ called you to. Do you have that abundance? The invitation is open this evening. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.